I want to look tonight in the time that we have this evening. I want to look into a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that many of us could quote. But I want to look at Psalm 23 this evening. Psalm 23 is much like John 3:16. It's a psalm that we can all relate to various ways. And so I want to read to you this psalm, and I've titled the message this evening, I Shall Not Want. How can an individual such as us, how can we say, I shall not want? So I want to begin reading with verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for the day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for all the music and those that participated in the singing and the playing of the instruments. Lord, we're so grateful for them and we're so thankful. And Lord, we just pray that you'll help us this evening as we spend a little time in your word and as we think about what we have in store for the week. We all have things that we have to do and get done and plans and so on. But help us, Lord, to just simply spend a little time with you this evening. And Lord, our desire is that we each one draw just a little closer to you. So prepare our hearts. If there's someone that's either through the airways that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, or even here, if there's one that doesn't know Christ, Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to that heart and cause them to see the importance of being saved. I ask your help tonight, and Lord, speak to hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many tonight can quote this very special psalm. A lot of times the reading of this psalm and even messages are proclaimed or preached during funerals. A lot of times you'll see that in the flyer that is passed out just announcing the death of a loved one. And that psalm or this psalm is a lot of times recorded. This verse guides and is quoted in hearts during fears. You know, if there's fear or if there's something that you're concerned about or even afraid of. My guess is that this is one of the most popular passages that is quoted from the believer as well as the non-believer. This psalm brings comfort and even peace. But no matter how many times you have read this psalm for various reasons, maybe to find comfort or to try to comfort yourself or even through the course of something that you're dealing with, no matter how many times that we read this psalm, we can still read it over and over and over again to find relief. But there's something very important about this psalm that our focus is tonight, and that is it speaks of relationship. How important is our relationship with the Lord? We can't judge anyone else's relationship. Of course, we could look out and You know, we can see a person's life and we could say, well, this person just simply needs to get right with the Lord, or make a comment or say this person needs to be saved or something like that. And yes, we can see the fruit that someone might bear, but yet we really don't know the heart of a person. The only one that knows the heart is the individual themselves and also the Lord. So when we read a psalm like this, and when we read about the shepherd, it speaks of relationship. How important is relationship? What is the importance of relationship and having that relationship? Parents can have a relationship with their children, and the children can have a relationship with their parents, and that varies based upon circumstances, and that varies based upon what is taking place in life, but yet there's still a relationship. Husbands can have a relationship with their wives, and wives likewise have a relationship with their husbands. But yet, if we're not careful, no matter what kind of relationship it is, we can very easily take it for granted. Out of all the things that I look back on my life, and I look back at, and we all have regrets, and we all have things that we wish we could go back and do differently, but out of all the things that I think I regret the most is I took for granted my relationship with my father, because my father left at a very early age. He left at 54, and I was 19, and I was at the state of mind to where, you know, you're busy, you know, life becomes very busy. You know, we can have, you know, throughout the day we have to go here and we have to go here and we have to do this and we have to do that, and we've got our own agendas and our own list of things to do and all those things, and that's just part of life. It's something that we all have to do because of various needs and various things that we have in our life. But yet if we're not careful, then when we take something for granted, then I don't know if you've ever said this or not, or if you've heard one say it. When a person passes, then you might say something like, I wish I could have. I wished I could have done this, or I wished I could have done that. I wished I could have said this. And one thing that I can honestly say this evening, now that I've gotten older and I seem to understand things a little better than I did when I was young, I never said thank you enough. I never said thank you because of the provision that my parents had for the children, and life was very tough. You know, I joke about it, but I was raised in a very poor situation, having six kids in the home, and so I was raised with very little to no running water when we were up in the mountains, and I can actually relate more to some of your generation than even my generation, because I remember the outhouse, if you will. And so, but yet through all of it, we made it through. And so one thing that I think about is just simply saying thank you. Thank you. So many times life becomes a blur. We get in a hurry. And before you know it, even though time doesn't really necessarily speed up, in our minds it speeds up, because the older we get, the faster time seems. But yet, the clock is always ticking. The seconds are going by. The minutes are going by. The hours are going by. The days are going by. The years are going by. And now we're in 2025. I don't know if you can remember, but there was a great fear when they were afraid because they didn't know what to expect when the clock struck midnight and we were getting ready to turn to 2000. Now we're 25 years past. And so that's just how quickly time goes by. And so I believe that when we look at this psalm, I believe one of the most important things in our life should be our relationship with the Lord. That's the only thing that will last, is our relationship with the Lord. This psalm tells a story of life. It tells a story of life that, in the simple fact that the shepherd will take care of you. The shepherd will take care of you. And so I would like to focus, for the time that we have this evening, I would like to focus on the four words that says, I shall not want. How can that be? Because we're very needy people. How can that be that the psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the very first verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? How can this be? Because we have a lot of wants, and we have a lot of needs. But I think the understanding here, as we think about this psalm, is this. Having the right kind of relationship with Jesus brings a person to the realization that He is all we need. It brings a realization to a person that He is all we need. Jesus is the shepherd. He is the shepherd. So what are some things that we can pull from this psalm in relation to I shall not want? Well, the first thing I want to mention tonight is this. I shall not want for provision. Provision. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Provision. You see, the shepherd provides for the sheep. He provides for the sheep. David, as he was writing out his own experiences through this psalm, he spent his early years learning and providing for sheep. So he has the realization, as being a shepherd himself at a young age, he has the realization of seeing the responsibility of the shepherd and also who the sheep are. You know, when I look at a sheep, or when I there's not as many around here, but there used to be some, you know, in some of the fields, and I was talking to someone one time that raised them. His daughter actually raised them, and we were talking about the shepherd, and we were talking about the sheep. And he ultimately said, and he just spoke it like he was, he said, you know, sheep are dumb. And because they'll go in places that they shouldn't be, and then we have to go get them. Well, think about a person's life. Think about a person's life doing things that they know they shouldn't do. Going places that they know they shouldn't go. Experiencing things that they shouldn't have to deal with. So David, in relation to the shepherd and understanding the shepherd's job, he says, I shall not want. Sheep are completely dependent on the shepherd. They are completely dependent on the shepherd for the provision. And we, as children of the Lord, we should be the same. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago that sometimes we try to outplan God. And we say to ourselves, well, if this doesn't work, then I'm going to do this. And it's almost like we've got all these plans made, when in fact that if we're trusting Him, and it's easy for us to do these things. But the most important thing in our life is not to fret, but yet to trust. There's several places in the Bible that it talks about fret not. There's several places in the Bible that says don't fear. There's several places in the Bible that talks about the experiences that people have that we even have today. Fear, fretting, asking for peace. All those things, when we really understand the relationship with the shepherd, and understand our relationship in correlation to the shepherd, then we understand that we are completely dependent on the Lord. We are completely dependent on the Lord. The shepherd provides. But the sheep also learn to trust Him. The sheep also learn to trust Him. I think I've mentioned it before, but my... When I was able to go to the farm that my grandma and grandpa had, the cows that that my grandma used to feed and used to milk, they knew her voice, and they would holler out, or she would holler out, and I won't attempt to do that tonight, but she would holler out this high pitched voice, and they lived up in the mountains, and a lot of times they were on the other side of the mountain, but she would call two or three times, and before you know it, they come running over the crest of the hill because they knew her voice. And one time I was there, and I was just by myself, and I tried to do the same thing, and I never saw them. They probably looked at me and said, "What are you trying to do?" But the point is, they knew her voice because they trusted her. They trusted her. They knew that they were going to get fed. They knew that they were going to get taken care of. They knew that, in a sense, those that were milk cows, in a sense, they knew that pressure was going to be relieved because they were milked. Well, you know, when it comes to our own life, how many times have you ever asked the Lord, "Lord, can you help some of the pressures in my life? Can you help some of the pressures in my life?" So the sheep learned to trust Him. The sheep took to Him. And the sheep needed Him. And it's the same way in our Christian life. We need the Lord. We need the Lord every day. And so the shepherd provides by provision. "I shall not want." But what about verse 2? Verse 2 says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The psalmist says, "I shall not want." Number 2, "I shall not want for peace." Peace. For the sheep to be able to lie down, then they must experience peace. They must experience peace. Romans chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." How? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're trying to find peace with God any other way, then we'll fall up short. But the only peace that we're going to have with Him is through Jesus Christ. You see, peace comes from Jesus. And I'm convinced of this, that a believer that is close to the Lord, people around you will know. They will know. You know, I've had individuals, and I'm sure that you have too, but I've had individuals in the workplace down through the years that were just people that you hadn't really talked to very much, about the Lord or anything like that, and then they'll come up to you and say, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And then they start telling you their heart, and they'll say something like, "Hey, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Will you pray for this situation? Will you pray for that situation or that circumstance?" And I'm just convinced that when we have that peace, the people around us will know it. They'll know it. So when the psalmist says, "I shall not want," he's simply saying, "I have the peace that is needed, and I shall want for peace because I already have it. Therefore, I can lay down in green pastures." Lay down in green pastures. People also know when you're troubled, when a person is troubled. And life brings you problems, and life brings you troubles. But yet for the believer, even though we have troubles, and even though troubles come, and even though we experience troubles, there's just something different when you're around a believer that's experiencing troubles. You know, I can't tell you how many people in the last probably 35 years or so that I've been by their bedside, and I knew their time was just about come to a close, that I saw the peace that passes all understanding when they took their last breath. There was a lady one time and she's been many years. She actually came to this church a few times, just visiting, and she was going through a difficulty. She had terminal cancer, and this has been when she came here. It's probably, you know, 35 or so years, but she would visit. But the point is, she had several years ago. She contacted me, and she was in hospice in Winston-Salem, and she needed to have that reassurance about her life and her relationship with the Lord. And so she invited me, asked me to come to see her, and I came to see her, and everyone left the room, and it was just me and her, and we were talking, and we talked for about 45 minutes. And she just got this overwhelming peace of knowing that she was one of God's children. She got this overwhelming peace that she says, "I feel at peace now." And those are the words she said, "I feel at peace now." And it's just simply taking the Bible. It wasn't anything I said. I just simply took the Bible and showed her what the Bible says. And she got peace. And the very next day, she went home to be with the Lord. And you may have experienced something similar. But when we lie down in green pastures, for us to be able to lie down in this sin-cursed world with all the turmoil and with all the problems and all the things that are taking place, for us to be able to lie down, then we must be at peace. And how do we get peace? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall not want for peace. Number three, I shall not want for leadership. The Bible goes on to say, "He maketh me to lie down," or "He leadeth me beside the still waters." He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads to green pastures, and He leads to still waters. He leads to still waters. Not a turbulent sense, just like life gets turbulence, but yet it's a peace. Have you ever thought about how Stephen was preaching? He was living for the Lord. He was ministering. He was doing what he was called to do. He had a tremendous message, and he was preaching, and yet Stephen was stoned. But before he took his last breath, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. How could he do that? The way that he could do that is having the right kind of relationship with the Lord. Having the right kind of relationship with the Lord and having that peace. Only the Lord's leading can give you that kind of peace. Only the Lord's leading can give you that kind of peace. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And although those stones were coming, when he looked up and saw Jesus standing, I believe that what he experienced became real. And he experienced that peace beside the still waters. I have seen the expressions on people's face when they took their last breath, and it was almost like they saw Jesus. And you saw that peace in that facial expression, and you know that they were in the presence with the Lord. You see, that's what that relationship does. You see, that's why our relationship with the Lord should be the most important thing to us. Our relationship with the Lord. And when we read this psalm, we understand that I shall not want for this peace because I already have it. I shall not want for this provision because I'm lying down in green pastures and wanting for the proper leadership because the Bible says he leadeth me beside the still waters. You see, it all is based upon relationship, our relationship with him. And number four, I shall not want for protection. I shall not want for protection. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And notice what verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. For thou art with me. I shall not want for protection. Thou art with me. In the moments you feel alone, he is there. In the moments you feel like no one understands what I'm going through, he is there. In the moments that you feel anxiety or in the moments that you feel of, I don't know what to do, he's there. You see, that's the protection we have. And that's in the moment we feel helpless, he is there. He is there. Matthew even adds, as far as the presence of the Lord, Matthew even adds, always. Always. He is always there. Always. And that is one thing. We can be disappointed by circumstances and we can be disappointed by individuals. We can be disappointed by things maybe not going the way that they want them to, but we will never be disappointed with God. We will never be disappointed with him. As long as we understand he is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd, and I shall not want. Number 5 is found in verse 5. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I shall not want for preparation. For preparation. Think about this table. Think about this table that is prepared. You see, in the ancient Middle East culture, it was customary for two things to happen. It was customary to anoint the guest with this fragrance or this oil. It was a customary for that to happen. But it was also up to the host, and they would also be expected to protect their guest while they were there. So if we kind of look at that and reread that verse and it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, it's like he's saying that there's a table for you, and although there's enemies around you, and there's turbulence around you, and there's life around you, and all those things, you can understand that I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. And we understand tonight that sometimes a person might take someone else's life. And so they might take us as far as our body's concerned. But the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You see, that's the provision and the preparation that is taking place, is the fact that there's actually a song that I don't know the name of it, but there's a part of the song that says that I'm a winner either way, and how true that is. So I will not want for preparation around the table, because He's already preparing that for us. Even though the enemy might be surrounding us, we are protected. Number six, I will not want for personal comfort. Notice what it goes on to say. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. He promises to guide us. He promises to lead us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then number six, I shall not want for a home. I shall not want for a home. Homes that were here on earth will come and go. We can have a home, and one day, as long as it's still standing, one day it'll belong to someone else. It'll be someone else's home, or maybe they choose to get rid of it. But the point is, the home we have down here is just very temporal, very temporary. But life in heaven is a forever home. You see, when we look at this psalm, we think about it speaks of life. It speaks of life. It speaks of a journey. It speaks of going through that journey. And then at the end, it talks about that home. So I close with these questions that I ask myself, as well as maybe you ask yourself. And that is this. How is our relationship with the Lord? How is our relationship with the Lord? What is your desire? Do you still desire to be close to Him? Not just a passing thing, but when you get up in the morning, is He the first one you think of? When you go to bed at night, is He the last one you think of? I read one time that you're really close to someone if when you get up in the morning, they're first in your thoughts. And when you go to bed, they're last in your thoughts. You're really close to that person. Well, I hope our desire is tonight to be just as close to the Lord as we can be. And there are many things that get in the way, because life pulls. It's almost like life is pulling like a tug of war. But remember the psalmist as he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, the Lord has already given the ultimate that we might have life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we think about this psalm, it gives us peace. because of that relationship and that remembrance of what we have in Jesus. And Father, you know the hearts of every person, that just like you know my heart, and you know our struggles. You know the things that pull us, the things that frustrate us, the things that anger us, the things that just seem to trouble us. But help us, Lord, to be as the psalmist. And help us to say every day, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord, as we leave this place here in just a few moments, we'll go our separate ways. We'll live our own separate lives. But Lord, you know my heart's desire, and that is that everyone not leave this place until they draw closer to you. So Father, I pray that as we have this invitation, if you've spoken to a heart tonight, Lord, I pray that they'll come. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.